It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus as we continue this study. Exodus chapter 25 is where we're going to begin today. And so chapter 23, verse 25. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. So please open your Bibles to that chapter and verse. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, please write to us at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you would like to visit our website, you can find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and to follow along today as we study God's precious Word. It's a wonderful opportunity that we have to study God's Word, and I hope that you enjoy it today. Exodus chapter 23, beginning to read with verse 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and ye shall bless thy bread, he shall bless thy bread and thy water. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn from their turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, then the Canaanites, then the Hittites, from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the fields multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set my bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land unto your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Now, we're probably going to get a little bit further, but let's go ahead and just stop the reading there and begin with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can have this precious time together. It is wonderful to look to your word and to enjoy it. Dear Father, I thank you. I praise you that we can come together, study your word, learn from you. We know, dear Lord, that it's your word, and we must be taught by your Spirit as he comes into our hearts as believers. We need to trust in him, we need to follow him, and we need to listen very carefully as he speaks to us, telling us of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and your Son, the Lord Jesus, tells us of you. What a wonderful relationship that we have. Please, that we do not miss this opportunity to be together, to study your precious word, to be led by you. Please, dear Lord, today, teach us your way. Those that do not know you as their Savior, please today that they come. It's so simple, it is so easy to be saved, but it is required, it is that we face our sin. We can't just say the words, Jesus, please save me. It has got to be that the Spirit of God has convicted you of your sin, and you know that you're dying and you're worthless and you need salvation through Jesus Christ if you're going to have any life at all. And please, if that's where you're at right now, right today, do ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Ask the Lord Jesus to show you your sin, and he will. And he'll also show you, the Spirit of God will show you the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And dear Father, then when we are saved and we walk with you each day, we are here to search your word and to enjoy your word. Please guide and lead us and strengthen us. Oh, we're going to look at the blessings that were before the nation of Israel here. Help us to see those today so clearly. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad that you've joined us today to enjoy the Word of God. It is so wonderful to come and to be a part of the study. I hope that you enjoy it, and I hope that you will stay with us each time that we study these things, because it is progressive. We're going through what Moses is learning of the Lord, and then he's telling it to the people. And I don't want you to miss any of that. And look here, now that we have looked at those three feasts or three festivals that they're going to have, that they're to gather the three times a year. They're to gather, every male is to gather into this place, and we know it to be Jerusalem. They didn't know that at the time because they hadn't even arrived at Jerusalem. They're still at Mount Sinai. Kind of keep track of where we're located here. But there's a promise that's given here, and they are to they're going to watch the Lord, literally the Lord, deliver out the enemies out of this promised land. God is going to walk before the nation of Israel and literally just clear the way and bring them right into this promised land, the land known as the land of Canaan. And you know, if you would take from the sea, the Jordan, and the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, from there you go all the way over to the coast, and you'll find the area that originally, you come all the way down to the edge of Egypt, you'll find the area that God originally gave unto the nation of Israel. And so he kind of gives us the directions here just a little bit. He tells us what he's going to do, and that's what we're going to look at today. And so please listen very carefully. We begin, "And ye shall serve the Lord your God." That's the first command. Serve him. And we're studying the book of Ezra, and in studying the book of Ezra, you find that they had come back from Babylon, which they were in captivity because of disobedience, came back, started building the temple, and rebuilding the temple, and they cleaned off the foundation, made an altar, then they cleaned off the foundation, and then a little trouble came their way, and they quit. And for 15 years, they worked on their own estates, they worked on their own houses and their own businesses, and they built them up great and strong and everything. And then after this 15-year period, we come to the book of Haggai, and Haggai tells us he wants them to consider their ways. "Why do you live in sealed houses, and is my house in waste?" And that's a question that God would ask today. We live in very fine homes. We drive fine cars. We have fine jobs. We make good money. Everything seems to be flourishing, except the house of God. The house of God is not only in disrepair for those houses of God that are staying to the truth. Now, you can look around and you can see a lot of fancy places, but when you look into the doctrine of those fancy places, you'll find it to be contrary to the Word of God. So you see, they are not of Christ. They are the Antichrist. Their God is the devil. And that's who is controlling and operating and running them today. You take places that is under the Word of God, following the Word of God, few desire to have that. Few desire to truly serve God. And so in turn, the house of God, the true house, is sitting and it's desolate because of its lack of money, lack of time, lack of people that want to come and begin to work and to serve and lift up the name of Jesus and share the name of the Lord Jesus and his saving grace. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity that we have that's so neglected today. God commands these people, and it tells them in the 24th verse, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works." Now, that's exactly what we're doing. We have bowed down to the gods of this land and of this world. And most folks I know, they worship the creation and not the creator. There's the problem. Worship the creation and not the creator. We need to worship God. And we need to praise Him. And we can enjoy His creation that He has given us and blessed us with. But see that you don't get the priorities turned around. And so often I see people spending so much time and so much money out in preparing their yards and their homes and their boats and the golf that they play, and everything is set up on their pleasure to begin with, and everything is set up on their fancy homes and having all those kinds of things. Well, we know, according to history, what has happened to the nation of Israel when that takes place. We also can look into history and see the nations that leave the presence of God and what happens to them. The curse of God comes upon them when they begin to follow the god of this world, the devil. And that's exactly where we're at as this country, as the United States. We are turning from God, and God's wrath is up on us and going to continue to be so until we either repent or He has to take us away. It's going to be one or the other. And here we have, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them." Break down their images, God says. We need to separate ourselves from them, and we need to rid ourselves of them. Ye shall, and you know, we have quite a list here. Let me back up just a little bit. "But if thou shalt indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Here's the land I'm going to give you, and you take it. And I will deliver this land to you." And then it goes into verse 24, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods." That's going to be a problem. It is dealt with in the 33rd verse the same way. "They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." So you see, God at the very beginning deals with this as He's telling Moses, and Moses is telling the people, and He deals with it then at the end of this time. And so let's look once again at verse 25. "And ye shall serve the Lord your God. Ye shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Now we're going to take our time, because I don't want you to miss the blessings that the nation of Israel chose to miss. They made a decision. We make decisions. And I hope that the decisions that you make are decisions that are in favor of pleasing God and joining God and serving God and honoring God. Today, we don't do that. Today, we please self. There is no respect the child has for an adult, nothing for leadership. And I promise you, when a child is raised up with no respect for their elders, they are not going to respect God. They're not going to bow down to Him. They must learn this respect at a very early age with their parents, and then they will come and accept the authority of God over them. And we need to see that we raise our children so. These people, they were commanded, the nation of Israel were commanded to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. And if you do, I shall bless thy bread and thy water. That bread and water would have been such a nourishment to them, such a strength to them. It would have been just like the best steak and the best meal that you could buy anywhere in the world, the most nourishing meal that you could, that you can think of. This bread and this water will fulfill that, and it would have been as satisfying. God will meet every need that you have. Now look at that. Isn't that a beautiful promise for the nation of Israel? Look at the next. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There's not going to be any disease that's going to come in and take you away. There's not going to be a plague that comes, as would be reminded of some of the things that went on in Egypt. There's not going to be such a thing in sickness that will be a problem for you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to meet your needs. And I'm going to keep sickness away from you. The nation of Israel is the only people that were was promised of God to be given a land flowing with milk and honey, and they had it given to them by the owner of the property, which is God himself. That's number one. Number two, they were told that I will feed you, I will take care of the nourishment of your body. I will do that. I will keep you healthy. So not only were they promised wealth, they were promised health. The word of God to Moses, to the people, was told them that if you serve me, don't serve those other gods, don't bow down to those other gods, but if you serve me, here is what I'll give you. What a beautiful promise. Even the blessings of the livestock in verse 26, there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. In other words, they're going to flee from you. But let's look a little, let's back up a little bit here. So now they're promised their bread and water to be such a blessing to them. They are promised that they'll have no sickness, no plagues that will come upon them. They're promised that their young will never cast their flock will never cast their young, never be born dead or aborted in any way. I'm going to bless you. God's saying, I want to bless you people, and I'm going to do it. You're my people. You're my chosen people. Now, we have a promise of God that he will bless us, but not in the same manner. We don't have the promise that these people had concerning the blessings financially, the blessings of health, the blessings of our livestock and the land and everything. We don't have that literal promise, but we do have a promise that God will bless us. You come by faith to Jesus Christ, and he will bless you. It may not be in a financial direction. You may have struggles all of your life. I've experienced many. But I'll tell you, the blessings of God outweighs any trouble, trial, or tribulation. The joy that he puts in my heart, the strength that I have, the hope that I have of eternal salvation. What a God I serve. What a God I have, the maker of the heavens and the earth. That's who I know. And there's joy in my heart. And I have an opportunity to call upon my God whenever I choose to. And he desires that I call upon him often. He loves hearing from his own, from his children. And as you bring your requests as a child to your father, to your mother, you do the same to our Heavenly Father. And we do it through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. and we have the teacher and the leader of the Holy Spirit within our hearts to guide us, to lead us. Please, please, that you don't miss the blessings God wants to give you. You're going from death, from an agonizing death, to everlasting life. And that everlasting life begins the second that you trust in Jesus as your Savior. Not in a month, or not in a year, or not upon your death, or the rapture of the church when He comes to get His church. We don't have to wait for those things. We can receive and possess His blessings right now. And we need to look to Him right now for our direction. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, please, and He shall bless you. Bless you in your food, bless you in your health, bless you financially. I will bless you. I will also, as the 27th verse says, I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. Now you says, my, that's not the God that I know, that He would do something like that. God is a jealous God, and God protects His own. God will protect me. There is nothing that going to happen to me. I will not have cancer. I will not have the flu. Nothing. I won't have financial bankruptcy. I won't have anything unless God permits it. And if He permits it, then it will come to pass. And then I've got a choice to make. Do I look unto my Lord and depend upon Him to get me through that trial, through that tribulation, through that sickness, and watch the blessed hand of God do it? Or do I complain and says, oh, are you real, God? Are you really here? Look at all the things that are happening to me. You can't be real. I hope those words never come out of my mouth. I hope that I am always able to see right through that tribulation unto something that God is doing in my life that's going to make me stronger and going to make me better. And that's the reason trials and tribulations come. And we see here that He's going to send His fear. He's going to put fear into that enemy. And that enemy needs to be destroyed, because the enemy today that stands, and the enemy will be destroyed, but the enemy that stands against the Word of God, and we have many enemies in this country. We have many deceitful, lying preachers that are in the churches today that are teaching false doctrine. They're just tickling the ears of the people, and the people are loving it. And they think that they're godly. They think that they're religious. Well, Nicodemus thought he was religious until he met Jesus Christ. Paul thought he was religious. His name was Saul at the time. He thought he was religious until he met Jesus. We have so many examples in God's Word of religious men. Men that studied and searched even the Word of God, but they missed the Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope you don't do that. But as God goes before this nation of Israel, these people of His, as He leads them on into this promised land, into the land of Canaan, the land that's listed here of the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, I will lead you into that land, and I want you to take that land. I will go before you, and I will destroy all the people whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. In other words, they're going to run. When they see me coming, they will know, and they will leave. And God demanded that these people leave. That's the problem. Because when the nation of Israel finally gets around to getting there, finally gets around to being obedient unto the Lord, finally gets around to arriving to the promised land, some 40 years plus, they go in, they move a little of this out and a little of that out, but they basically leave so many of the idols and the idol-worshipping people. and it wasn't long that their memories of Egypt came back to them, and they began to worship the idols of the land. Once again, they worshiped the creation, not the creator. We do the same thing today. We worship the creation instead of the creator. These people, when God says, I will promise you that I will go before you and I will destroy them. Now remember these words, because it's not going to be long. We're going to build the tabernacle. We get it built, then we're going to move right on to Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea is where we're going to find that the spies are sent in to check out the land. And remember, when they come back, what they say. They don't say, 10 of the 12 does not say, let's take it. God said he'll go before us, and I believe him, and I trust him, and we're taking this land. But they were afraid of the walled cities. They were afraid of the enemies of that land. And so they didn't go in. And in turn, they died. Everybody of the age 20 and up died because they refused to believe God. Right here, his word is told them, I will make all thine enemies turn their backs from thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before thee. I love this part in verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. Look at what today we have so much going on with the environmentalists. They desire that we want to let the land go back to its natural state. Let the animals take it back over again. These residents of this land, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Hittites, were in there tilling the land, working the land, and taking the fruit off of that. God says, I'm going to give it to my people, Israel. And so little by little, God was going to push these people off. And they had a choice of either dying or going someplace else, because this is God's land and God's got the right to do that. And God began to shove these people out of the road, or would have if the people of Israel would have been faithful to do what they were to do. He would send hornets before them to do it. And so as these people then are coming in, God says, I'm only going to clear so much land as you need it. This land is of plenty. There is only 2-3 million of you. You're not going to need it all right away. I'm not going to clear all the land off so that the animals can overtake it. The brush grow back up, and the animals would get in too large of multiply. See, God told the people, and even the Hivites and the Hittites and the Canaanites, they killed the animals. They lived upon the land. They took the fruit of the land, and they took the animals, and it was great for them to nourish themselves, to feed them their families. And God expects us to do the same thing. And you know, when we get into all the rules and regulations, you know, we find that the animals from time to time just literally overrun us, because man gets their hand into it, you see. And that's kind of what we're into many times today. But God saw fit. He wanted the land cleared and farmed. He wanted the land to be kept clear and kept farmed. And he would even allow the enemies of God's people to live on that land until Israel needed it. And he said, I will push them off so that it'll be yours. And it'll be all be ready. Everything will be just perfect. Isn't that something, how God's hand does that? Oh, you know, God's got a plan, and man gets in the middle of that plan. Governments gets in the middle of that plan, and many times destroy it. As a matter of fact, we could pretty much say all the time, man and the governments get together, and it's not good, because they go their way and not the way of God. This nation here, as our nation, has been a blessed nation because it's been under God. But the more that we leave that, the more the curse of God is going to be on us, not the blessings of God. It's a wonderful study that we have. It goes so quickly. I hope you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?